bit deeper. So if you're there, let's just bow our head and close our eyes for a quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, I thank you for another Sunday. I thank you for another opportunity to gather and to meet. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to be with us, that you'll continue to guide us and protect us, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll use me, God, that you'll use me to share today, that you'll use me to bless somebody, that you'll use me to deliver a message, oh Lord, that somebody today will be changed by, that somebody's life will be transformed by. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing and what you're going to continue to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So yeah, prayer. Last week we began to discuss how you can receive 100% answered prayer. And I believe it's a very important topic. I'm sure it's something that a lot of us think about is how can I receive, 100% answered prayer? If we turn our Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Colossians 4 and verse 2, as we are discussing prayer, Colossians 4 verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So the Bible instructs us, this was the Apostle Paul. Paul was actually in prison when he was writing this. It's a letter to a given church that Paul was in charge of. And Paul was writing to this church and he was saying to the church, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. If you read this in another version, it says, devote yourselves to prayer and be watchful and thankful. But the key word in this verse is devote yourselves. So Paul used a specific word. He said, devote yourselves. And if you look up the definition of the word devote, what does it mean to be devoted to something, right? So being devoted, I'm reading straight from the dictionary. Being devoted to something means being focused on that particular thing almost exclusively. Right? When you are devoted to a cause, you work to achieve its goals. So if you were devoted to prayer, it must mean that you are setting goals in your prayer life. It means that you have decided that maybe this coming week, every day this coming week, I'm going to pray every day for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. If you struggle to pray every day, then the goal is just to get to a place where you pray every day. But see, that by definition, the word devote means that you are working to achieve its goals. Prayer in itself doesn't come with goals, right? So that must mean that you have to be moved to set goals. Anything you don't have a goal for, it means that you don't really care about it. Yeah, you're not really motivated to get there. When you are devoted to a person, to a place, you put their needs above your own. So when you are devoted to prayer, you put the desire to prayer above you just wanting to do something else. You give yourselves to prayer, right? You devote yourself to it. So I wanted us to read this verse and I pray that we can have this verse in our hearts as an understanding as to why it is important to pray, right? Why, as a believer, you must become somebody who is prayerful. Now, being prayerful doesn't mean, to a point, it doesn't mean that you pray for hours upon hours. What does it mean to be prayerful as a Christian? It means that you are somebody who makes an intentional step to work on a prayer life with God, right? Don't create this image in your head of prayer as this spooky activity where you're on your knees, you close your eyes, you're in the dark. I think sometimes we've painted a picture that prayer only looks like that. So if you don't feel like doing that, then you're not really praying. But prayer can be done in many different formats, right? The Bible says that you should be always praying. So if the Bible instructs us that we should be always praying, then it's actually almost impossible to pray all the time on your knees with your eyes. Like, that image is actually impossible to accomplish. So I just wanted us to continue in prayer. I want to encourage us to work on our prayer life, I want to encourage us to develop ourselves in prayer, right? You know, there's always a difference between Christians who pray and Christians who don't pray, right? When you do not pray as a Christian, when you don't pray at all, you see, when you can go a whole week and you don't pray at all, you should become very afraid. You should become almost a little bit nervous. Yeah, because when you don't pray, you leave your life up to chance. I mean, you leave your life up to anything can happen. But when you pray, you are securing yourself with the blessings of God. If we turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Yeah, it says that, but when you pray, you go away. So this verse is Jesus speaking. In your Bibles, you see that this is in red. It says that, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private, right? Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So you see, it's actually instructing us, this verse is actually instructing us that prayer is something that, number one, you should do privately. You can do open prayer where you pray in a group, of course. But the verse is also saying that by praying privately, right, by your efforts to pray privately, God who sees that will then reward you openly. If you read another version, it says that God will then reward you openly. So it is very important as a believer to pray privately. Private prayer leads to open blessings, right? It leads to outward blessings. Many Christians that you see who are doing well, who are prospering, who are advancing in their life, it is because of their private prayer life that leads them to do that. Amen. I'm sharing with you some of the benefits of prayer. This is one of the benefits of prayer, is that when you pray, you actually are rewarded openly in front of others. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. The Bible says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. Yeah, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Amen. So watching and praying. By simply being somebody who is prayerful, you can deliver yourself from certain temptations. Sorry, you can deliver yourself from certain issues. Yeah, there's some mistakes that we've all made, and we wouldn't have made those mistakes if we had prayed. The issue is that we didn't pray, so we fell into temptation. That's why the verse begins and it says, keep watch. It says that you must be watchful. The act of being watchful as you pray is the same as what we read in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, when it says that you should pray with an alert mind. So it doesn't mean that you pray and it's like you believe that that's it. You keep watch, as in also be aware of your surroundings, right? Be aware that when you pray, you are guarding yourself, you are protecting yourself, you are securing yourself by your prayers. Amen. So last week, we began to talk a little bit about how to receive 100% answered prayer, right? And I'm sure all of us, you know, would be interested in that subject. How can I receive 100% answered prayer? And we went over four ways that you can receive 100% answered prayer. So what does it mean to receive 100% answered prayer? It means that every single time you pray and you ask God for something, you will always receive what you've asked God for. Yeah, like there's no time that you can pray, you ask him for something and he says no, or you don't get what you've asked for. You will always get it if you follow these steps. So last week we began and we said that, number one, pray for yourself without needing anyone else to pray for you. That was step number one. The second step was pray and confess your sins, right? So pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. The third step was to abide in Christ. For those of you who are not here, this is a recap. The third step was to abide in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It means to live in Christ, right? It means that Christ governs your life. Christ can direct your steps. You know, Christ can direct your actions, the decisions you make based on the word of God. And then number four is obey the commandments of the Lord, right? Obey the commandments of the Lord. This means that whatever God tells you to do in his word, that you obey it, or he sees in your heart that you are trying to obey it. If we can go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, please. Matthew chapter 6, it says that then your Father who sees everything. So if God sees everything, then God can see that you are trying, right? He may not see that, he'll see also that obviously you will not be perfect or that you'll make mistakes. But based on this verse, right, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. God can reward you based on your efforts. He can see that you're trying. Of course, you may fall. Of course, you may make a mistake, but he sees that you're trying. So when we say obey the commandments of the Lord, it is about your heart and about your effort. It is not a, don't think that obeying the commandments of the Lord means that you must become successful in obeying God. It is about your heart, once again. So that was last week. This week, as we continue, I'm going to give you three or four more ways, right, that you can push yourself to receive 100% answered prayer. If we can turn our Bibles to John 15, verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. In your Bible, this verse should also be in red, but it says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." Amen. So this can be step number six. I'm sorry, step number five to 100% answer prayer. Step number five would be a fruit-bearing Christian. Be a Christian who bears fruit. You know, if you are a born-again Christian, and I believe we all are born-again Christians here today in church, if you are a born-again Christian and you find yourself in church, the only reason that you are still alive is to bear fruit, right? The only reason why you are still here today is to bear fruit for God, is to do something for God. You cannot be a born-again Christian and live a life that does not produce any fruit. Yeah, you cannot be a born-again Christian and just be a Sunday churchgoer. I think I've said this before, that if you are a born-again Christian, your aim and your desire must be that before you die, before you leave this earth, you have joined yourself some way, somehow, to helping the work of God, whether that means that you are serving in a church, whether that means that you have a group of people you are shepherding or teaching, in whatever way, right? The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. So if you are a Christian, then you are part of the many. You and I, all of us here today, we are part of the many. The issue is many of us are never chosen because we never take the time to find out what we need to do to help ourselves be fruitful, to help ourselves reach a place. The verse that we're reading says that, "I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." Many Christians do not produce fruit, let alone lasting fruit, right? And the fruit must be lasting. There's a direct connection in this verse between getting answers to your prayer and bearing fruit. You must produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. So bearing fruit or producing fruit is one of the keys to receiving whatever you ask for. And one of the ways you can bear fruit, you know, I think sometimes when I would hear pastors and I'd be in church and I'd hear pastors preach about bearing fruit, I would always ask, how can I bear fruit? One of the ways you can help yourself to bear fruit is by just simply being engaged in the church you are a part of. Yeah, it's not, don't over-spiritualize the thing. It's not, bearing fruit is not something that needs to be extra spooky or needs to be almost like a mystery, right? If you find yourself a part of a church, that is the door for you to bear fruit. Now, the question is, are you going to take advantage of the opportunities? Are you going to find yourself engaged in the church? Are you going to find yourself helping in the church? That is the difference between Christians who bear fruit and Christians who don't. Yeah, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Being a Sunday Christian, just a Sunday church goer, you come to church and you leave on Sundays, is not enough. You must grow and increase your place in the kingdom of God to do more. Amen. So that's the fifth step to receiving 100% answered prayer. The next step is have faith every time you pray. Yeah, I'm sure this one is even general. Like, you would assume that it's automatic. But you'd be surprised that it's not. And if you ask yourself, most of the time when you pray, you don't really have faith when you are asking God for things. Mark 11, verse 24, please. Mark 11, verse 24. "I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." You know, I was thinking about this verse and I was thinking to myself that many of the time when we pray and we're asking God for things with like a mindset of, if God chooses to give me this, you know, like, I'm not so sure if God will give me this. It's like we're not certain if the thing we're asking God for, God will really give it to us. Yeah, I hope that's making sense to someone out there. You guys are quiet in the chat box. But, you know, like, it's like sometimes it's like we're not so sure when we pray if God is going to give us the thing that we're asking about, if God is going to bless us. It's like we're asking God for something, but we're not confident that he'll give it to us. And the verse that we're reading says that if you believe that you've received it already. So when you pray and you ask God for things, don't think to yourself, well, you know, if God decides to give it to me, or if God chooses, you must be confident in what you are asking for, that you've already gotten it. So when you pray and you're asking God for something, or if you pray and you want God to bless you with something, the first step when you are praying and asking God for a blessing, yeah, or maybe you're praying and you're asking God for healing, or you're praying and you're asking God for wisdom maybe, is that you must believe you've already received it. You must believe that you've already become wise. Yeah, pray that you've already... that as you're asking God, help me to be filled with wisdom, that you've already received the wisdom. You're already somebody who is wise. Amen. I think a lot of times one of the things that blocks us from getting answers to our prayers is this mindset. It's like we're praying with an ask mindset. So we're waiting to see if God will give it to us or if he won't. And then when God gives it to us, and it's like, oh God, you are good. But the verse is actually instructing us to change how we think about prayer. It's saying that we must pray and believe we've already received it. So don't think you are being arrogant. Don't think you are being prideful if you pray and you already have accepted in your heart that, oh, this thing I'm asking for, I know I've already gotten it. Because the Bible itself is telling us to believe when you pray, to believe ahead of time, right? If we turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 21, please. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Yeah, let's read that verse again. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Many of us, if we really look at ourselves, will quickly realize that we're not fully persuaded, that we haven't become fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he's promised that he can do. That we don't really believe it. Once again, that's why we pray with an ask mindset. It's like we're asking God for something, and then when we finish praying, we're waiting. And then once we're waiting and we're in the waiting period, if God blesses us, then it's like, wow, God is good. But no, you must be persuaded that what you are praying for, you have received it. Yeah, you must be persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. Yeah, and then the verse goes on to say, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Yeah, as righteousness, yeah. Most of the time we define righteousness as our ability to control our flesh, or your ability to not drink, or your ability to not sin, or your ability to not lie, or your ability to not steal. But look at what is being credited to somebody as righteousness. Righteousness is being credited to somebody as the level at which they are persuaded that God can do what he can do. You know, the Bible says that by faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah. So instead of focusing so much on, you know, I haven't done this sin, I haven't done this before, I don't strive. Instead of focusing so much on that, let's focus on becoming people who are filled with faith. Faith in God, faith in what he can do for us, faith in how he can bless us, faith that his word and that God has the power to do what he has promised. Like this man here in the Bible, it says that it was credited to him as righteousness, that by becoming somebody who is led by faith, becoming somebody who is believing in God, it is actually given to you as righteousness. Yeah, the Bible, you are not given righteousness because you don't lie, or because you don't steal, or because you haven't done ABC sin, but rather what is given to you as righteousness is that you have the ability to be fully persuaded by God's word, that God can do what he has promised you to do. Many Christians don't really believe this. This is a place, if most of us were honest with ourselves, we haven't reached this level of faith yet. We say we have faith in God, but our faith is just that God exists and that God governs the world maybe. And even that one, I don't know how true it even is. Yeah, but our faith is limited. Our faith hasn't reached a place yet. And you can tell our faith is limited by our prayer life. By the fact that we don't pray and believe that God has the power to do what his word says that he can do. You know, in the Bible, if you read throughout the life of Jesus in the Bible, Jesus blesses people of faith, right? Jesus blesses people who believed in the Bible. If you turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 52, Mark 10, verse 52. Mark chapter 10 and verse 52, please. Jesus blesses people who had faith. This is the first person that Jesus blessed who had faith. It was a man named blind Bartimaeus, right? So he was a man who was blind. He could not see. And, you know, I'm going to give us about four or five different people in the Bible who Jesus blessed because of their faith, right? And for the sake of time, you know, we can't go through and read all these stories. But what I would say is, you know, throughout the week, say that you're going to learn about all the miracles of Jesus. There was a time when I decided that I was going to study all the miracles of Jesus Christ. I was just going to read one a day, one miracle a day. So this is one miracle. It's found in Mark chapter 10, if you want to read it. But yeah, Jesus said, "Go," said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. So blind Bartimaeus was healed from being blind based on his faith. Next, Luke chapter 7, verse 50. I'm giving you people in the Bible that Jesus blessed, not because they were righteous, not because they were good, but because of their faith. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This was a woman who poured oil on Jesus' feet and used her hair to wipe it up. It was in an alabaster box. For those of you who know the story, this was the woman with the alabaster box. And she poured a certain type of perfume or ointment, if you will, on Jesus' feet. And she cleaned his feet, actually. And it was based on her faith that she was doing something like that. And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Next, Luke 17, verse 19. Luke 17, verse 19. Then he said, this was a man who was crippled, right? This was somebody who could not walk, somebody who had lost his ability to walk. He had been paralyzed. Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Amen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 20. Luke 5 and verse 20. Luke 5 and verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Amen. This was someone who also had a friend, two people. One guy was not paralyzed. He had a friend who was paralyzed. And the Bible says that they found out Jesus was staying inside of a certain man's house. And they actually went to the house and tried. If you read this story, this is why I'm encouraging you guys, you know, read the stories. But, you know, they found out that Jesus was staying inside of someone's house. And the Bible says that they actually went to the house, went to the roof of the house and actually tried to break into the house. Yeah, they actually tried to break in from the roof of the house. And when Jesus saw that they were going through all this, they were putting in this much effort, they were this persistent just to come and get healed. The Bible says that when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Like, you've been healed just because of this. Amen. So I just want to encourage us to develop our righteousness for Christ. You know, develop our faith. When I said righteousness, I mean our faith, right? If we go back to Romans chapter 4, if you take any verse away from today, you know, take this verse away, that what will be credited to you as righteousness. I think a lot of times with our Christianity and with our faith, we get deceived. Many Christians are deceived that what will be credited to them as being righteous, as being good, holy, proper Christians is their ability to sin or not sin. But based on the word of God in Romans chapter 4, if we can go back, please. Romans chapter 4, it says that being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, right? You must be fully persuaded, yeah, that this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen. It is based off of your ability to be persuaded Some of us, as I'm preaching this, only believe it up to a point. Some of us believe it fully. Some of us don't believe it at all. But whatever level you are able to become persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised, it will determine the level of righteousness that you'll be given. Amen. The next, so that was step, you can take that as number six. The sixth step to 100% answered prayer is have faith every single time you pray. And then the seventh step for 100% answered prayer, the seventh step that leads you to 100% answered prayer is persistence, persistence in prayer. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, then Jesus said to them, so this is in red. Sorry, if you have your Bible, this is in red. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. So Jesus is telling a parable. Next verse, please. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Next verse, please. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Amen. So what this parable is saying is that if you read verse 8 here in another version, it says that because of your continual asking, yeah, because of your persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, if you go back to verse 7, if you go back to verse 7, please, 6 and 7. Yeah, it says that a friend of mine on a journey has come and I have no food to offer him. Yeah, so this is a friend. The person who's knocking outside the door is a friend. Yeah, but, and then if you go to verse 8, I just wanted to show something. If we go to verse 8, it says that even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship. So there's some times when you may not receive an answer to your prayer just because you are a Christian. Yeah, you are a Christian. You are praying to God. You are knocking. And you may not receive an answer. And you think you deserve an answer because you are a Christian. Just like how this person thought he deserved to have the bread, to have the door open to him because this was his friend. I'm sure many of us can think of some of our friends who expect things just because of friendship. But see, friendship doesn't guarantee you everything in a person's life. Yeah, just because you're someone's friend doesn't give you unlimited access to the person at all times. And this person was somebody's friend. And he came to the person's house in the middle of the night while the person was asleep, while his children were asleep. And he kept asking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Yeah, and eventually he got up to give him what he needed. If for nothing else, it was just so that he can be left alone. Yeah, so sometimes when we pray, we must continuously go and ask. We must continuously be knocking. We must be continuously knocking and asking God for the same thing again and again and again and again. Yeah, never feel shy. That's why it says that it is because of your shameless audacity. It is like the fact that you will continually ask about this one thing again and again and again. Many of us do not pray in that way. We pray once. If we don't receive an answer to the thing we're asking about once, we give up. Yeah, but you must continuously pray. You must continuously ask about the same issue. If you're looking for a new job, for example, and you've prayed about it once and it hasn't come, you must continuously pray. Continuously ask. God can give you something just because you've asked multiple times. Yeah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. You know, the seeking and you will find. You must go out and look for an answer. Yeah. You must go out and find an answer. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Like when you're asking God for something, it can be given to you. If you're going through a difficult time in your life right now, you know, if you're going through a difficult time in your life right now, the way to really overcome it, yeah, the secret to overcoming a difficult time, and this may sound cliche, this may sound, oh, like, what else is Dylan going to say? But you must pray. Yeah, prayer is how you will overcome that difficult time. The verse is saying, knock and the door will be open to you. You know, one time I was going through a very difficult time in my life. This may have been maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I was really going through something difficult. And I remember I was talking with my pastor and I mentioned to him like, oh, I prayed about it. Like I prayed about this issue and nothing has changed. So I even want to give up on the prayer. Like I don't want to continuously pray. And he told me something. He said that, you know, the prayer isn't supposed to deliver you a direct response. Sometimes we think when we pray, it's like we are supposed to have an answer right away or something should change almost immediately. But he said, you know, the prayer doesn't bring a direct response. Rather, the prayer just presents some comfort. That's why earlier I was talking about faith. If you really have faith in God, then you'll believe that when you pray, the comfort will come because you know an answer is on its way. Yeah, you may not have an answer today or tomorrow, or even this week, but the comfort will come. Prayer brings comfort. Prayer doesn't always bring an answer immediately. And I think we must, as Christians and as believers, we must grow to a place where we understand that prayer doesn't help us sometimes with an answer right away. Yeah, the answer sometimes will come through this, through the knocking and the door will be open, through the persisting, through the seeking. But when you pray once about an issue, you must have faith that this is bringing comfort, that God has heard you, you know, that God has heard your prayer and he will answer it. And if you don't receive an answer when you want, then you continue in prayer. Then you continue in prayer. There was a time when, you know, sometimes I would think to myself, it seems like God likes last minute things. It's almost like, when I'm on an issue, when I'm praying about something and I'm now ready to give up, I'm ready to move on, I'm ready to accept that this thing God isn't going to answer, then it seems like that's the time at which he comes to answer it, when I'm giving up. And one day I realized that, you know, he's answering my prayers on his time. Like I'm ready to give up. And at the time when I was ready to give up, that is the time when he had planned the whole time to give it to me. And sometimes we rush. And we assume that receiving an answer will come today. And we assume that like an answer is going to come this week. But I'm telling you that sometimes you must be persistent, that you must keep knocking, you must keep seeking, you must keep asking. And God will definitely hear you and God will open the door to you. Amen. You know, I just want to read an excerpt, an excerpt from one of our bishop's books. It's titled How to Pray. And, you know, there's a small section that I wanted to read. It says, praying once is an expression of faith. So when you pray once about something, it's an expression of faith. Praying over and over about the same issue with determination never to stop until you get an answer is also another expression of faith. Each of these two expressions of faith is valid. Each of these two expressions of faith brings results. Each of these two expressions of faith was recommended by Jesus. Each of these two expressions of faith can make God answer. Amen. So when you pray once about something, you can receive an answer. When you pray again and again, and notice the word that our bishop used. He said, you know, when you pray over and over about something with a determination, yeah, with a determination, it means that you are set on the matter. Yeah, some of you on this church service today, some of you have college degrees. The reason you have a college degree is because you were determined. You were set. If you graduated college, you'll know that the only way you graduate college is with determination. It's like you set in your mind, it's like, I can't stop this. Yeah, like I won't stop. Like there's nothing in me that will allow me to stop. Nothing, no circumstance, no issue will prevent me from stopping. And it's the same with prayer that you have said in your mind, I'm not going to stop praying about this topic. Amen. So, you know, I believe that as we go on and we study this topic, that our prayer lives will truly change, that, you know, we'll become more intentional about setting aside time with God, setting aside time to pray, setting aside time to speak with God. You know, God is somebody who wants to hear from you, right? He wants to hear from each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to only interact with him on Sundays at 12 o'clock. You know, if this service was your only time with God, it'd be very limited. The service is over. We started at 12, it's 1:12, the service is almost over. If this was all the time you would have with God until next week, Sunday, I mean, it's a major issue. Yeah, it's a major problem. I don't even know if you can say that you love God to a level if this is the only time you have with him. So I pray, you know, wherever you are, let's just bow our head and close our eyes. I want us to just take a few moments, pray for yourself, pray that you become more intentional about your prayer life. Pray that God will help you with a desire to pray, with a desire to spend time to talk with him. Pray that your faith will be increased. Yeah, pray that you'll become fully persuaded in God's power. Just take a few moments for yourself and pray. Father, I pray for each and every person who joined today's church service. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us, that you'll keep us, that you'll guide us, and that you'll protect us. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help our faith to be increased, Lord, that you'll help us to grow in our faith. Help us, oh God, to become more established, oh Lord. Help us, Lord, to be more intentional about the time we set aside to pray with you. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be with us, continue to keep us, and continue to direct our steps as we grow in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So at this time, if you have your offering or your tithes, we can have the instructions presented on the screen, please, and you'll have an opportunity to give them. So if it's your first time giving, you can follow the prompts on the screen. You know, it's a blessing to give. I say this every week, but it's very important that you give an offering, and then when you come to church, you also come to church with your tithes. It's actually a very important practice. It's one of the keys to being blessed. So if you have your offering, you have your tithes, you can follow the prompts on the screen to give. So at this time, let me just have a quick word of prayer for everyone who gave an offering or tithes. Father, I thank you for every person who was able to give today. Lord, I pray. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for what you are doing, God. I pray, God, that you will open a window of heaven over their lives, that you will bless them, that you will keep them, that you will sustain them, God, that you will increase their financial levels, God. In 6 months, may they not give the same amount they are giving today. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So at this time, please welcome our sister Elizabeth to come and give announcements.
Woo! Woo! Our Sunday announcements. Our first announcement is our First Love North America prayer meeting will be at 7 o'clock through 9 p.m. every day this week. Make sure to join and be blessed. Our second announcement is Operation 1+1 and Swollen Sunday is where we would have everyone bring one person to church, and the details for this event will be coming very, very soon. Our third announcement is our helpers are needed in the church, so please reach out to Elder Dylan if you have any areas or if you want to work with anything or have any ideas, please reach out. I believe we are going to be truly blessed as we work for God. Reminder for next Sunday, everyone, please bring someone to church so we can have more people and be blessed. Now, let's all say grace, and everyone turn on your microphones and your cameras, and let's say grace together. Amen.
Amen.
May the grace.
May the
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God, the communion,
the fellowship,
it's about
the participation of the Holy Spirit, the 25,000 children
of God,
which includes all the important,
people for my life,
and the first love
of the
Spirit
of power, love,
and of a son.
Be with
us now and forevermore. Amen.
And
we are called by the youth are
chosen.
Amen.
And.